welcome you tonight to Pal Talk Tuesday night. Tonight I was asked by Tony McCurry, who is not here tonight because he had to attend some function, some concert or something with his grandson. And so he sent me an email and he said, well, maybe you could do a recap of the conference that we had over the weekend. And I said to him, well, Tony, I didn't take any notes. You know, I didn't take any notes of the conference, and I want to do a good job, you know. And then kind of hemmed and hawed about it. He said, well, I guess it's up to you. And then he said, well, maybe, you know, you can just do it from memory or something like that. And then I was thinking about it, and he asked a guy to do that from memory, a guy that lost his car keys and his wallet this afternoon. But nevertheless, I did recover my car keys and my wallet. And so then I thought, well, okay, let's do a recap of the conference, which I think was a particularly glorious conference, and not that I put it on, but just because of what it was. And we're supposed to bring glory and honor to the Godhead, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so I had a particular game plan for this conference on the schedule. I wrote a couple of things. I wrote this: for we know for a fact that Almighty God directs us to study His Word diligently to be approved unto Him. That's a fact. To understand His orderly plan of redemption through distinct biblical dispensations, which are His awesome godly economies. To keep His revealed truth, to rightly divide His revealed truth, and to keep His truth on a straight course, which truth on a straight course is what Eddie the Greek, if you remember Eddie Medrano, he added that to rightly divide, because he thought that the Greek form orthotomeo meant keeping the dispensation on a straight course. That's what that form meant. In addition, and so I thought I'd add that because, in fact, if you think about it, and we keep all of God's dispensations on a straight course, rightly cutting them, rightly dividing them, there'll be no confusion at all. And so we find, you know, tremendous confusion over the Word of God, and God directs us to study His Word so that everything is rightly divided and on a straight path. So, you know, that's something, that's a directive that is a great responsibility for us. And I think that once we understand the dispensation of the mystery, we've been given just an unspeakable blessing as far as His precious Word is concerned, to do just that. And so I put that down. And then knowing this, we are directed today, this day, to enlighten all as to what is the dispensation of the mystery, the dispensation in which we live, also the dispensation of grace, goes along with that, the mystery which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things through Christ Jesus. And so, you know, that was, you know, that's what I put down in the schedule. And then I was going to have 12 speakers, and four of them could not make it. And, you know, the Lord provided. And eight speakers made it in person. Barney Bagby made it. Alan Noss made it. Ron McCurry made it. Stephen Jan Hoonan made it. Dave Bickle made it. Wayne Stewart did not. Forrest Cottrell did not, but, you know, we'll discuss things about those men. Pete Redman made it. Roger Dillman didn't make it. Tony Lopez made it. Tony McCurry made it. And Dave Garrick from Leesburg, Florida, could not make it. And Wayne Stewart couldn't make it because he's a professor and he was getting all jammed up with summer school. Forrest Cottrell, we know about Forrest and Kathleen through their various trials and adventures, but Forrest gave a message a week before that on Pal Talk, and I just kind of added to that, so thanks, Forrest. Pardon me. Wayne Stewart sent a video message of himself teaching, and that was great. We saw that. Roger Dillman sent precise words of his message, and also a PowerPoint presentation. And David Garrick couldn't make it because of his business, his wife's malady with flying, and because of the hurricane, which has affected some of you. He had older people in his family that he had to stay down there to help if they needed it. And so, all these men, really wanted to be there, but they couldn't make it. And what I did an assignment for each of these men, and basically what I believe the Holy Spirit told me what to do is we studied every chapter of Ephesians. We had a speaker speak on every chapter of Ephesians, every chapter of Colossians, and then we were going to have two speakers talk about 2 Timothy chapters 3 and 4. And so all of this came about except for 2 Timothy 4. And what Alan Noss did is he filled in for David Garrick, who was going to be the last speaker. And I gave him 2 Timothy 4, and Alan Noss did a study on the post-Acts epistles of Paul. And so Barney Bagby had Ephesians 1, Alan Noss had Ephesians 2, Ronnie McCurry had Ephesians 3, Stefan had Ephesians 4, David Bickle had Ephesians 5, Wade Stewart had Ephesians 6, Forrest Cottrell had Colossians 1, Pete Redmond had Colossians 2, Roger Dillman had Colossians 3, Tony Lopez had Colossians 4. Tony McCurry had 2 Timothy 3, and we were going to have 2 Timothy 4, but Alan Noss graciously filled in with a study that he's been, really working on, and it was great. And so that's what the conference was about, and which was spoken by all these great men. And the reason I think I came up with this is that I decided that if you were sitting in that room, you would at least hear pretty much of some powerful books of the mystery just read. And so you couldn't help but reading and hearing about the mystery. And that was the method to my my modus operandi in doing this. And I think it came across, came out really well. I mean, I was certainly blessed. It came across really good. The guys that didn't make it, Lord provided, and we're sorry that they didn't make it, and we're sorry that some of you didn't make it, and all in all, in my heart, I just want to uphold the Lord and His dispensation of the mystery, and enlighten all to see what that is. And so that's what we were doing. And so what I'm going to do now is from my from my awesome memory that you just heard about, I put a few notes together, okay? And that's what I'm going to do tonight. Might not take very long, but I decided I was going to maybe not do a summary at all. And then I thought, well, maybe I'll do a little bit of a summary and then mix it with a little bit of the lesson about Christ's work in the signs in the heavenlies. And then I thought, I'll tell you what, I'll just do this recap, and then the next time I come on, we'll just continue with God's unbelievable work through the sun as seen in the signs and the constellations. And what I want to say to you is I want to say that I believe it's a conference that would be worthy of getting a copy of or downloading it and listening to it. I believe that you will be certainly blessed by it. And I'm going to get CD copies because, you know, I'm still in the dark ages, but I'm going to get CD copies, and I'll make CD copies for anybody after Ron gets those out. I know you can download them, and, you know, through all this wonderful, these wonderful gadgets, who knows what you can do with them. What? Yeah, Ronnie is going to put that out. I guess Chip's a wonder guy when it comes to that stuff. So, you know, I would expect that they're going to be working with that. And so I direct you to the TFT website to, you know, these talks by these great men of God were certainly great, and I was glad to be there and glad to be glad to be an instrument. Thanks a lot, Chip. Glad to be an instrument of just doing this. It just really blesses my heart that you know that I can even that these guys would even show up here. I mean, and I really thank them for that. All the people that came. I mean. Blessings, people all had a good time. My wife cooked her brains out, and so now we've got a whole living room full of equipment and food hanging around everywhere, and good food. Yeah, I have food and water and beverages, you know, coming out of my ears, but that's okay by me. You know, I mean, I benefit from this really well. So, with that having being said. I'm just going to end. I apologize to any men that were speakers here, or speakers, that if I, you know, I'm just going to give some blurbs, you know, a few lines about what I remember about your talk. So please don't sit back and go, man, I talked about a lot more than that because, you know, at first I, pardon me, I would have rather worked off of real critical notes, but I didn't take any. So here we go. Barney Bagby had Ephesians 1. And what Barney did is he concentrated on verses 3 through 14. So that would be good verses for us to read. We know what's in Colossians or Ephesians, pardon me, verses 3 through 14. Many blessings from the Father. It's the Father's will that is being poured out through the blood of His Son concerning the church. And Barney pointed out that the willing heart of the Father and His giving and His progressive giving and giving and giving to the church built up as like a crescendo. It just kept on building and building and building like it was God's crescendo to His truth. And, you know, I agree with that. The many blessings that are given forth there are unspeakable if we consider who He is and who we are, and that He would choose and propel human beings to such paramount places in His plan as just phenomenal. I don't know how many adjectives. I'll have to look up a number of adjectives so I have more adjectives to speak about what the Father has done. But he talked about it building to a crescendo, pardon me, which I totally agree with, and he's in that the Father was heading up all things in His Son. That's very important, heading up all things in the earth and in the heavens. And that may have to do with the giving of the dispensation of the mystery that that is the capstone of truth, and that it was it's just incredible to think about, and that was a hidden sacred secret of Almighty God until he revealed it through the Apostle Paul. That's just, that alone is something to set you back. The Father choosing us as his inheritance in the super heavenlies, according to verse 11. And he talked, like I said, he talked about many, many other things, and so you should get a copy of his talk. Alan Noss was next. He had Ephesians 2, and he pointed out all things done for the church by Christ at the cross, and he made the statement as if the Acts period never existed. And what I took as it's not like the Acts period didn't exist, but it's as though that who the church is and what the church is and how the church is blessed had nothing to do with the Acts period whatsoever. And I thought that was a real interesting way to look at it, and it's you know, it's, I think it's a good way to look at it, not neglecting the truth of the Acts period, for sure, but in understanding in understanding the significance and the uniqueness of our calling, I think that's what I took from it anyway. Raising us in Christ, seating us in Christ, creating the one body, no Jew, no Gentile, all done through the blood of Christ at the cross. And all these things were done at the cross. And so he stated that, and that's something very interesting to think about also, thinking if the Lord knew about the mystery when he was on the cross, I could say. That's an interesting thought. The body being made a holy temple in Ephesians 2, and that he brought out that the temple is the Greek form naos, and naos is a special Greek form when talking about the temple because it discusses the inner holy of holies, the holy places in the temple, and that relates to the church, which is Christ's body. So that was excellent, and you should get a copy of his talk. Rotten Ronnie McCurry, we all know him, everybody loves Ron. Even the waitress at the meal that we had after the conference, and this is tough for me to do, commented on how nice that Ron guy was, because she wanted to shake his hand, and Ronnie wanted to hug her, and she thought that was out of this world. She goes, oh, that Ron is such a nice guy. And man, I don't know how much of that I can take anymore, but I thought, you know, what the heck, I might as well say that. Ron had Ephesians 3 stating that this chapter, in his mind, is actually the Mount Everest of the mystery. And he went on to say that it's the highest mountaintop of the Lord's truth, stating that the two mysteries were given in verses 2 through 5, which is an interesting fact to study. The unsearchable riches are found in the real in the revealed truth of the dispensation of the mystery, of which we are stewards of this unsearchable truth. He pointed out that this truth is not alluded to in any way or given in any Old Testament scriptures or in any scriptures dealing with the previous New Testament callings before Israel was set aside at Acts 28, and not even the Gospel of John, which I believe was written after Acts 28, in any way speaks of the truth of the dispensation of the mystery. And he emphasized that this is the holy word of God, the Almighty God. So, you know, we're building on these facts that I don't know too many people of the Lord, if you think about it, in the history of the scriptures, could even say these things. Think about it. Think about Old Testament folks. Think about Acts period folks. Think about all these thousands and thousands of believers that have no idea of this revealed sacred secret. I mean, it just keeps on going and going, like Barney pointed out, and Ron pointed out, and Alan pointed out, crescendo, Mount Everest, phenomenal truth. So, yes, you should get a copy of Ron's talk also. Stefan from Canada, very interesting young man, he brings out, he had an extremely detailed and well-spoken message. What took me back is I don't think he said once. I do that all the time. And Ephesians 4 said concentrating on. I don't believe this young man said once. It was like amazing. And so what he did is in Ephesians 4, he concentrated especially on verses 3 and 4 of Ephesians 4, which talk about the one body, the one spirit, the one hope of our calling, the one Lord, the one faith, the one baptism, which is the baptism into the death of Christ, the one God and Father of all. He concentrated on the unity of the Spirit as given forth by the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul to the Church of Jesus Christ's body, and that keeping this unity among us in truth and in the manner in which it is set forth in the prison epistles is extremely important, and it's extremely important to the Father and to order within us and within our calling and within our walk and within our ministry. Hey, you might want to get a copy of Stefan's talk. David Bickle had Ephesians 5. Dave concentrated on Ephesians 5, verses 21 through 33, and the submitting that was involved there. Believers submitting themselves to one another. Interesting. Wives submitting themselves to their husbands. The church submitting itself to the headship of Christ. And the great mystery concerning Christ and his church, found in verse 32, of which there was a number of great discussions. I particularly like talking about the great mystery concerning Christ and his church myself. Some of us were talking about it, and just as Eve was taken out of Adam, because it talks about a man and his wife, being a type of Christ in the church. And how can that be? Well, Eve was taken out of Adam, and she was in Adam before she was even here. The church was taken out of Christ, and we were in Christ before we were even here. That's one thought that came out of our discussions, which I think is extremely interesting, and I think that there's, you know, other ways to look at that too, but I particularly love that one myself. This submitting of wives and husbands and believers is one where each of us is totally equal, by the way. There's no taskmaster husband over a wife. There's no taskmaster believer over another believer. We are all equal in God's sight, and it's a matter of proper order and proper function as the Father would have it, as He would have it in a family. Christ being the head. This is an order that's not one that wouldn't be pleasing to perform or do for everybody. because it's not a matter of being submissive over a taskmaster or a slave master. It's fulfilling a ministry. It's fulfilling a ministry as a man, a wife, a father, a child, a believer, and a member of the body of Christ. It's an order. And Dave pointed out that this order in our world, in the world, is under such severe attack that the order of the family, as God would have it be today, is almost non-existent anymore. A really, really, really good talk, good, thoughtful talk to get the marbles rolling around about. You should probably get a, maybe you should get a talk of Dave, copy of Dave Bickle's talk. Wayne Stewart sent a video of himself teaching in his building down there in Oklahoma. And his instruction was to do Ephesians 6. And in this video, he did a video that actually summarized every chapter in Ephesians. I was like, you know, he's summarizing Ephesians 1, 2, 3. I was sitting there kind of, you know, tongue-in-cheek, kind of laughing, you know, and it's like, well, you know, like he's going to run out of time, you know, he's going to run out of time. He did Ephesians 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and he made it to 6, and then he concentrated on the armor in Ephesians 6, verses 11 through 18, stating things such that he had an interesting point of view on the helmet of salvation, which I don't know if I ever had heard this exactly before. He said that that helmet protects our knowledge of the headship of Christ so that we acknowledge him as head. Thought that was really interesting. That, you know, the headship of Christ is seen through all the prison epistles, especially in Ephesians and Colossians, as being extremely important to uphold, isn't it? And he talked about the powerful offensive sword of the Word of God and how very important the use of continuous prayer is for us, praying for everything at all times, for everyone in our truth. And beyond, actually. So I thought that was excellent, and you know, I hardly even covered any of that at all. So it maybe behoove you to go to TFT. Boy, am I going to stop saying that? Probably not. Well, Mike, that's me, put an extension on Colossians 1. That Forrest Cottrell greatly gave a week before that, extending his message that he gave on Sunday on Pal Talk, it replacing Barney. I concentrated on the superlative Koine forms, or people call them words. They're forms used in Colossians 1 concerning our calling. Supreme knowledge. You know, the super heavenlies, and I focused on verse 12, and I wrote that out in the Greek, and how translating the Greek properly leads us to know that each of us have a portion in the inheritance, not in the saints, in the Holy of Holies, in the super heavenlies, I put that in parentheses, in the unapproachable light that is talked about in 1 Timothy, I believe, that Christ, the Son of God, dwells in now. And so I believe as the fullness of Christ, we have our portion in this inheritance at his right hand in the Holy of Holies, or in the Holies, in an unapproachable light that no man can see or hasn't seen or can see. So that was some of what I talked about. Pete Redmond had Colossians 2. This was This was a really interesting study. Pete had Colossians 2, and he said that Colossians 2 reminded him of a apartment he had in college where there was this huge, really bright, loud railroad crossing that was right outside his apartment. It would go off every 5 minutes. How that guy ever stood being there, I didn't ask him that, but I don't even understand that. He said it was a crossing where trains were going to Chicago. And so it reminded him, when he studied Colossians 2, of what he called the five big bewares of Colossians 2, and how they reminded him of a large, big, bright railroad crossing light very close to his apartment room. And he went, ding, 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 beware. That's what he would do. Okay, that's what he did. And he went, ding, 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 beware. Let no man judge you in meat or drink or respect of a holy day or a new moon or Sabbath day. Sabbath day. Then he went, ding, 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 let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and a worshiping of angels, intruding into those things in which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his own fleshly mind. Ding, 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 beware of those who are not upholding the head. Ding, 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 beware of ordinances, of rudiments of the world, for you're not subject to them. Ordinances and commandments and doctrines, taste not, touch not, handle not. And ding, 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 be aware, and beware of religious humility, which things have indeed a will worship, of wisdom and world worship and humility, and in the neglecting of the body, and not in any honor as the Sabbaths. Oh, my whole thing went out. Oh. I just had a glitch. Well, at any rate, am I back on?
Stop dinging.
Oh. Can you still hear me? Okay, very good. Yeah, my screen went totally black. Sorry. And so my wife said, quit dinging. And so, but he, you know, he was going ding, ding, ding like that, and every time he did that, he'd kind of take you back in your chair, which was, got our attentions. And he said, all of these things we must beware of because they are very dangerous to us, and they're denying the completeness that we have and that we thoroughly enjoy in Christ. For ye are complete in Christ. Which was an excellent, excellent talk of Colossians 2. Yeah, Roger Dillman was next, and he had Colossians 3, but by the time he got up there, he was about 3 or 4 inches shorter. He lost, I don't know how many pounds, and he had a bit of color in his hair. And he looked kind of like me. He looked kind of like me. And so what I did is Roger asked me if I would do his message, and it was great. I mean, all I had to do, it was perfect. All I had to do is read it. And so and it was really good. And, yeah, I mean, it was, I'll have Roger explain his modus operandi to you there, Gary. A very succinct and complete study. Roger points out the to-dos of Colossians 3 as opposed to the bewares of Colossians 2. And he called this the Church of Jesus Christ Body's bucket list. That's what he called it. The to-dos of us to do. And you know, there was many. I don't think it involved any corn. He wants to see corn. And what they meant. And so, briefly, and, you know, I mean briefly, and this is brief, so you might want to get a copy of his message. He said, do, this is part of it, a very brief part, do set your affection on things above, And then he went on to explain what that meant, and that it was the decision on our part to either concentrate our affection on things above and what they are, or choose to disobey and concentrate on things on the earth. That's our option. That's what he said. You don't bring honor to the Lord, though, in your calling, and then you could be a slip-up to somebody if you don't concentrate on the things that are above. And then he went on to explain what that was like to do. He also said to do, to understand your true life that's hid with Christ and God, the time factor of Christ's manifestation, and that this manifestation, possibly the time of it, only the Father knows, and that upon the manifestation or the appearing of Christ in the heavenlies, our manifestation or our appearing will happen exactly then. And so we can understand our position in the plan of God as being the first purpose of God and the first resurrection and, you know, the first appearing, the first manifestation of a blessed group. Those are my words, but he pointed that out. Another part of his to-do was to mortify or put to death your fleshly members on earth. And even though we are forgiven of all sins, we still have the old man, and we can, the old man is still there, and if he gets loose in any one of us, a man or a woman, he can cause havoc in many arenas, and he can cause havoc in our very brains, as a matter of fact, in our walk. So we have to mortify or put to death the members on earth. He also said to put on the fruits of the perfect Holy Spirit dwelling within us, each one of us, and to respect other brothers and sisters. This is something that we should do. And also to do, to let the peace of God and the word of Christ dwell in us richly. And then he went on to explain that and what that was and many other things. And like I said, this is such a brief synopsis of, I think he did a, you know, he did a complete word-to-word study of Colossians 3. And so you should probably find out what that was like. Tony Lopez had Colossians 4, and Tony, from Connecticut, the East Coast guy, he said, I grew up in the Bronx, so don't mess with me. Really a pleasure to see those two. And Tony concentrated on the first few verses of Colossians 4, talking about servants and masters and the Lord, who is our master in the heavens. How we're to perform, how we're to act in our daily affairs to those that are among us and to those that are without, in our jobs, to our bosses, in our families, to our children, to our wives, to other members of our family, and how that we are servants and that we serve the Lord Christ, and the attitude within ourselves that we should serve the Lord, and that in fact, according to the Lord's mind, there is no respect of persons. And so it doesn't matter if you're Queen Elizabeth or Donald Trump or you know, one of these brainiacs that could buy a whole country or a person on the street living with today's mites, as the widow did, that knows the mystery. All of these people are the same in the calling of the mystery in Almighty God's eyes. This is the truth, what we all believe, that's our problem, but in fact, the Lord has no respect of persons. Tony also pointed out the importance of studying about the many believers listed in Colossians 4, and there's many believers listed there. Years ago, I used to just scan over them and think to myself, well, that's not important anymore. I think that's one of the most important things to do, is to look at all of these workers, all of these believers around Paul and where you can find them and how they connect and what they did and when they did it and what books they were found in. And this will totally increase your knowledge in your calling, and it'll be a joyful study. And so I thought Tony's study was excellent. I think his study is possibly on, that's right, the Carolina website, yeah. TFT. Yeah, thank you. That was a little bit of humor there. And then Tony McCurry had 2 Timothy 3. Tony pointed out the character of the non-believing folks in the world in the end times, which is in 2 Timothy 3. The reason I had this put in there in this conference is to show you what we will be facing and what Paul faced almost immediately after he put forth the mystery. It the whole world didn't come roaring to Paul's feet and accept it. As a matter of fact, for the most part, he was rejected by many, even those, some of them really close to him. And so that's something for us to consider. Tony believes that we're in the end times, in the latter times. And it's so contrary to our walk and mindset and heart for which we find thorough instruction in the Word and how we should conduct ourselves. And it doesn't matter how the world is conducting themselves. We have many instructions and the power of the Holy Spirit and how we're supposed to conduct ourselves, knowing this tremendous truth. He discussed those of the religious world having the form of godliness but denying the power of it because they are void of the truth and they are in the religious world. And such as the magicians of Pharaoh, Jannes and Jambres, but eventually as these magicians, their folly will become openly known. And Tony pointed out that these religious people can be very, that are void of the truth, can be very enticing and quite a trap. And I believe that we find great examples of such people in the Pharisees of the day of Christ, no doubt. And then speaking for David Garrick at the end, David Garrick was going to take 2 Timothy 4, but Alan Noss had an interesting study, a very interesting study of which he has, I believe, downloadable notes on, which maybe that one site at Truth for Today may have them. Alan discussed in detail. It's not Truth for Today. It's
Carolina.
Okay, I'm sorry, CarolinaBible.com website. I'm really sorry.
Have Ronnie put it on.
Yeah, have Ronnie put it on. Must be my memory kicking in there. Alan discussed in detail why he believes, in detail, and if anybody has the notes, this guy does. Thanks, Chip. He believes 1 Timothy, Titus, and Philippians were written early by the Apostle Paul after Acts 28. He believes that these were the first three epistles written and that they were written by Paul after Acts 28, his first of the seven epistles written to the Church of Jesus Christ body, and that there is a beginning of the knowledge of the mystery there. But hopefully I'm saying this right there, Al, but that the meat of the mystery comes out in the four epistles of Ephesians, Colossians, Philemon, and 2 Timothy. And he has many proofs and many references for his conclusions. And he also discusses what imprisonment these last four epistles were written. And I think that is a study that I'm really interested in, and I'm going to be certainly looking over his detailed notes about that. And so that is the summation that my mind came up with, and that's just a pinhead of what these guys said. And so I think today or tonight I'm going to end with that. I'll end with a word of prayer, and I do really urge you to look into what these guys have said, because, you know, we're not getting any younger, and we're increasing in knowledge, and life, our time is getting shorter, and the days are getting more wicked as we roll, which is what they're supposed to be doing. So I think, you know, increasing in the knowledge of God every day is really important, and I thank you for listening. I thank you for all those that supported this conference and all of the people, you know, all of you have, I'm sure, have really busy lives that are, you know, complicated with things and all sorts of issues. You know, we know totally about that, and so we're extremely grateful to all that supported us and all of these guys that came and everything that was involved in it, but it turned out really well, and now I've got a lot of leftover food to look at and think about. Yeah, hey, really welcome, our dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for this church of believers, this fullness of the Son of God. And his shed blood that made it possible, and all things that were made possible at the cross. And we cannot even begin to imagine to thank you for what we've been given in your Son, in the super heavenlies. We cannot even fathom even one speck of what that may be in the flesh. We have the first fruits of the Spirit, in a sense, at the sealing of the Holy Spirit through your Word of God. We have this God, the Holy Spirit, as sealer. We have him as the empowerer for us to understand your truth, and that this truth is cemented to our hearts and minds, and that we know that it is the truest of true things on this planet. In this we thank you and pray in the Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, our head. Amen.